name is Mike Bernard, and my wife and I are among a group of property owners who have had a dual experience. First of all, we received monthly royalties from gas wells for about 3.5 years. And then we had the experience of having our property rights seized for an underground natural gas storage field in those depleted gas wells. Now, this was in the Oriskany sandstone formation, so it was not related to Marcellus Shale formation. And this activity took place in Bedford County, Pennsylvania, which is in south-central Pennsylvania, almost on the border of Maryland. In fact, it's about 2 hours from Washington, D.C. We live in western New York, but we've owned 10 acres in Bedford County, Pennsylvania, for more than 25 years. Now, as this drama unfolded in our lives, there were three key players. First of all, the feds, in the form of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, known as FERC, F-E-R-C. Obviously, they're headquartered in Washington. The second key player was the corporation. In this case, it was Spectre Energy Corporation, which is headquartered in Houston, Texas. And the third players, of course, were the property. Our experience basically became a two-year fight for our property rights against eminent domain actions, which were launched by Spectre Energy. Now, Spectre Energy is not a drilling company. It's a natural gas storage and pipeline company. Its actions, that is, its eminent domain actions, were backed by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC. And the company's goal, Spectre Energy's goal, was to convert those depleted gas wells that I mentioned in the Oriskany Formation into a huge underground natural gas storage field, 12 billion cubic feet in size. And what happens, their business is they transport gas from somewhere else, like the western states, for a fee. They store it in this underground gas field for a fee. Then they transport it to the northeast natural gas markets for a fee. And if I can, Vince, maybe I could just hit a few highlights which might help listeners understand what kind of a wild ride this is.
Absolutely.
First of all, we have to understand eminent domain. And unless you live it, you know, it's just an abstract concept. But eminent domain is the equivalent of legal theft of your property and or property rights under the badge of government. Eminent domain cannot happen without government. It can be the federal government, as it was in our case. It could be the state government or even local government. And it is a sobering experience for an individual. Now, the feds, the FERC in this case, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, admitted that our situation was the first in their experience because the proposed underground storage field, the Oriskany Formation, is right next to the gas-rich Marcellus Shale. They had never had that before. And what that means is, by permitting the underground storage field to be created, the property owner's future income from any further gas exploration, whether it's drilling in the Marcellus Shale or in, there's other formations down there that the geologists think contain gas, and any possibility of that is virtually eliminated because a storage field is next to a drilling field, and that's considered problematic by regulators. And in this case, Spectre Energy would be very wary of that. One of our badge of honors is that a Spectre Energy VP admitted that he has never seen this level of property owner resistance in 26 years with the gas industry. Now, some of the things that we did, the actions that we took in response to the threat of eminent domain, is first of all, we refused to sign over our rights. Secondly, we filed comments and objections with FERC. Third, we forced the CEO of Spectre Energy, this was about 2 years ago, to conduct a quote-unquote investigation of Spectre Energy's unethical treatment of landowners, which we complained about to FERC and to the CEO of Spectre Energy. Now, when he said he was going to conduct this investigation, we knew what the outcome would be, but it forced them to file a 32-page report with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. That report is still on file at FERC, and it's also on file on our website. And I have to tell you, it is so bad, it is good. I say that because the report invokes the dictionary definition of lying as a proof point in its defense. I mean, it's just amazing when you follow the culture of the energy industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of the other things we did is we hired attorneys to fight the eminent domain action. We held a community information meeting, which drew scores of citizens and pulled in local and regional press. We launched a website, which focuses specifically on property rights that come under pressure from energy and utility companies. And it includes a video of some of our landowners who put a human face on the reality of eminent domain. It also includes weekly blog posts. For example, I did 4 blogs titled Pious Mouse Wash about the 32-page report that our energy submitted. And the good news is we are now helping and responding to questions and inquiries we get from property owners in several states. So our goal now is to share what we've learned and other property owners who face similar situations. And if I can, I'll give the website address. The core of the address are 3 words which are spelled as 1 word, as it usually happens in these addresses. Spectra Energy Watch. So that's Spectra, S-P-E-C-B-R-A, Energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, Watch, W-A-T-C-H. So the website address is www.spectraenergywatch.com.
Okay. My question was, is this this eminent domain used in your case or in your experiences if you've been watching in other cases? It always seemed to me that the government tried to say how it was a last resort to solving an issue between a corporation and the citizens who were in the way of the corporation, and so what is your experience as far as that goes? Have they been using it as a last resort, or is it something that they're using more as a tool that they can just wield at any time?
Well, our experience, and obviously I can only speak for our direct experience, eminent domain was brought up very early in the process. You know, when they call them right-of-way agents, or ROW, row agents, showed up on property owners' doorsteps, several property owners in our group reported the fact that there was an implicit and an explicit threat from eminent domain. And I have to tell you, I'll speak harshly on this. As I've said, eminent domain is the equivalent of legal theft of your property and or property rights under the badge of government. As I said, it can't happen without government approval. Now, based on that, our experience was that the government becomes the equivalent of a co-conspirator. Why would I say that? You know, those are very tough words. In our case, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and Spectra Energy, so you've got the government on one hand and a publicly held company with stockholders on the other hand, treated property owners as obstacles in this process rather than as key stakeholders. The thing that always puzzles me about eminent domain and the threat, the implied threat and the explicit threat that comes with it, the fact that I step back from my business experience and ask myself, so who owns the vital asset? Does the government own it? No. Does Spectra Energy own it? No. The landowners own it. So why would the landowners be treated? I mean, if you go onto that website and just watch the video, what you'll hear is, I think, every one of the 4 landowners who was on the video talks about the fact that they learn cannot trust the energy companies. And one landowner pointed out, you can't trust the government either. I'll tell you an example. Early in the project, the FERC project manager, so this is the person in Washington, D.C., who's managing this underground gas storage project, told our attorney at the time that this proposed underground gas storage field was a done deal. Those were her words, done deal. And this was in the proposal stage. When we heard that, we thought, we must look like, you know, we just fell off the turnip truck. In addition, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission holds regular meetings with energy companies like Spectra Energy. But they refused to let us attend any of these meetings with Spectra Energy. And you know, obviously we were going to do that at our own expense, go to Washington, D.C., sit in the meetings and let our voice be heard. Their preference is that you file comments on their website, which is fine up to a point. But, you know, on one hand, so we were excluded from direct face-to-face meetings at the government level. In addition, the energy companies also negotiate different and better lease agreements with government entities than with private property owners, even if the properties are next door. And we had that situation. We had Pennsylvania Game Land, number 49, are next door to several of our properties. And I filed a Pennsylvania Right to Know request. That produced 2 lease documents that showed that the Game Commission received much more favorable lease terms than property owners for, first, a drilling lease, which I mentioned, and then second for the underground gas storage lease. So in effect, landowners are confronted by the equivalent of a domestic energy cartel. You've got the feds on one side, energy companies on the other side. And what does the cartel do? It controls prices and competition. So who gets shortchanged? It's the property owners, who again are the ones who own the key asset, the land.
Right. How extensive is this being used? I think that's something that many people in any area, especially area where there's already drilling, and up in New York here where drilling's about to happen, who hear about eminent domain and compulsory integration, which is a New York law. How extensive is it used where your land is?
Eminent domain?
Yeah.
We're seeing it all over the place in Pennsylvania and frankly in other states. Texas, for example, I take my hat off to the Texas Farm Bureau, has launched a lobbying and a communications campaign to improve the eminent domain laws in Texas in order to better protect the property owners, because the property owners are not standing on a level playing field legally on this. And to your question, Vince, you mentioned the Marcellus Shale and, you know, the activity in Pennsylvania, which is somewhat ahead of the activity in New York. But there's going to be more drilling. And where there's more drilling, you're going to have more pipelines. And the only way you get a pipeline is with eminent domain actions. And there may be more storage fields. It's unclear to me. When one of the rulings that the judge made as Spectre Energy pressed its case in federal court, which in our case was based in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, was that this underground, this 12 billion cubic feet underground natural gas storage field was critical, you know, to energy. The problem is the federal government's own Department of Energy website, under the Energy Information Administration, has records, very useful records, on underground natural gas storage fields throughout the U.S. And you can look at a state-by-state breakdown. And what that information said is that Pennsylvania has more underground natural gas storage sites than any other state in the continental U.S. Knowing that, it's kind of hard to understand. So tell me again, why is this critical? But for example, we're working with property owners in Chester County, Pennsylvania, and York County, who are dealing with pipeline issues. And in York County, it happens to be Spectre Energy again. And they face the same problems in terms of eminent domain seizing their property rights. Now, in some cases of eminent domain, since you asked about this broadly, they will seize your property. You know? I don't pretend to be, I'm not a lawyer, I don't pretend to be the expert, but my reading of it is that usually takes place in urban areas, you know, where they want to take out a block of stores or something and put a shopping mall in it. And you saw that with Kelo, the Kelo case in Connecticut that went all the way to the Supreme Court. In our particular case, what happened is that they wanted, Spectre Energy, backed by the federal government, wanted subsurface rights. They needed that to store the gas under our property, right? And they wanted some amount of surface rights because they had to put their pipeline, have a huge compressor station there. As one of the landowners told me, and I went to see it, my jaw dropped. He said, it looks like a small city. It's got a compressor that is nearly 5,000 horsepower, which, by the way, recently had an emergency shutdown. And Spectre Energy, and this sits on top of a 12 billion cubic feet gas storage. And Spectre Energy's response to that was so bad that the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, which is equivalent to the New York State DEC, mm-hmm. they issued them a notice of violation because it took them 3 days to even notify the landowners, because with this, the document that I've read that the public has a right to look at, when that emergency shutdown occurred, it occurred because of a leak in a gas pipe, and it emitted two things. One, nearly, it emitted nearly 1 million cubic feet of natural gas into the atmosphere. Now, anyone who's looked at the, you know, natural gas, its content, knows that that's not all good stuff in there.
Right.
It also, this is Spectre Energy speaking in a report they had to file with the Department of Environmental Protection in Pennsylvania. They estimated that approximately 20 gallons of an oily substance was released during the emergency shutdown. And this oiliness spread over multiple properties in the area. And Spectre Energy went around. They didn't even go off site to inspect property owners. To give you one example of the issue that citizens have in dealing with energy companies, I wrote a blog on this rather extensively. I interviewed company officials, property owners, and the Department of Environmental Protection for Pennsylvania. And it took 3 days for Spectre Energy to officially notify landowners not to heat the vegetables in their garden till they had checked to see what the contamination was, whether it was dangerous or not. They're supposed to notify DEP right away, within 2 hours. They didn't do that. They're supposed to notify them in writing within 3 days. They didn't do that, and hence DEP filed it. But what is interesting, it gives you insight into the gas culture and the energy industry culture, is that in my conversations with a Spectre Energy VP in Houston, I asked about the delay. She assured me that they had been in contact with the DEP within 48 hours. That was her phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Within 48 hours. As it turns out, I learned from the DEP, the only reason they were in contact within 48 hours is because DEP called them, because landowners were calling the DEP saying, what's happened here? What's happened to our property? What was that noise, which one property owner described as an engine crashing when the shutdown occurred? So lots of issues around eminent domain, around decisions that get made with energy companies and their infrastructure. As I said, it has been a transformative two-year experience.
I have a couple more questions. Is that all right?
Sure.
The first one is, what is when the government takes your land and they allow the corporations to use it, you would kind of touch on this briefly as to how much land is used, but what is the small extent and the large extent of the land being taken? Is it like a whole property where people are living, or is it just a small parcel?
There's two things, at least in our case, okay, since this is essentially a rural area. First of all, they had to seize the subsurface rights. That was for the underground gas. And they had to seize some surface rights for the construction of large pipelines, the huge compressor station that I described, and so forth. So the impact of that is as follows. Let's start with the subsurface rights. In our case, many area property owners possess the mineral rights, all right? And that is what permitted them to enjoy 3.5 years approximately of royalties from the extraction of natural gas in the Oriskany Formation. Once Spectre Energy, under the badge of FERC, seized these property rights for its storage field, the possibility of further potential recovery from other formations, including but not limited to the Marcellus Shale, because there's other formations down there, that possibility is virtually eliminated. And what is interesting is that as we were working our way through the legal process, Spectre Energy filed motions with the federal judge in Johnstown that in the event of a jury trial over just compensation, property owners should not be permitted to even argue lost economic value related to any potential recovery of what they call native gas from the Marcellus Shale or other formations, nor should property owners be permitted to question Spectre Energy or any of its expert witnesses on this subject. So you've got lost economic value that by the energy industry's lights, they didn't even want brought up in front of a jury trial. Now the surface rights, in addition, where they have a pipeline running through or where their compressor is, you know, and they bury the pipeline in most cases, and you can still see some things, but buildings cannot be erected where that pipeline right-of-way is. Trees cannot be planted over the right-of-way, the pipelines, for example. And in some cases, access is denied. The area is fenced off, gates, signs warning you to stay out. So all of that reduces economic value to the property owner. But you're still required to pay taxes on that same amount of land. So in that sense, here's a situation having a domain where you lose your property rights, some portion of them, surface or subsurface, and you lose access to the land, you lose potential economic value, but you're still responsible for paying taxes.
Wow. My last question was, for people and activists in your area or any area, anyone who's listening, what would you recommend to someone to get involved and to fight this, or how did you go about getting involved in this, so to tell someone else?
Great question. I would say begin by following the advice of two wise farmers. The first one was from New York, and he told a group of landowners, the biggest fear of the natural gas companies is that you will educate yourself and talk to your neighbors. Think about that. Educate yourself and talk to your neighbors. Now, this applies whether you're dealing with a drilling situation, which typically would not involve eminent domain, or an underground gas storage, which would involve. So educate yourself and talk to your neighbors. The second wise farmer, who's a Pennsylvanian and is part of our group, he said, in my dealings with FERC, federal government, I've always had the feeling that the less I knew, the better off they were. So, if you follow the advice from those two individuals, first of all, you want to talk to neighbors and create allies. You have to organize your community. The old adage about strength in numbers is true. In an energy company spirit, they want to split you up and deal one-on-one. They don't want you to get together and share information, create a strategy. What you want to create a local version of a neighborhood watch group. Think of it as an industry and government watch group. Raise a public voice. We've used the website, and we're now getting visits from the website from across the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. It's very interesting. We've gotten some good tips from people who are inside the energy industry. So you need to raise your voice, whether it's through a website or communicating with media, legislators. The other thing is consider joining the State Farm Bureau. Okay, my wife and I joined the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau. For us, it cost $75 a year. I don't know what the cost would be in New York, but it's another voice, and they have a lobbying arm. And in the case of Pennsylvania, and I suspect this is true of many State Farm Bureaus, they have pretty very good policies relative to property rights, so you can build on them. And as I said, the Texas State Farm Bureau is absolutely ferocious on the subject of protecting property rights. The other thing you want to do is get competent legal advice. But I have to warn people, if they haven't done this, they will perhaps be surprised if they find themselves in this situation, that many lawyers work for energy companies. So what you need to do is to verify whether there's a conflict of interest. And you have to, you really have to pay attention to that. I guess the key thing is that fighting takes stamina. Most folks want their drama in the form of entertainment. They don't want it in their life. And many folks are not comfortable with conflict. But if you are willing to fight, you will be in a much better position than if you roll over. And there's lots of resources out there. You're not alone. There's our website. There's the CAFL Coalition, the Institute for Justice. Another excellent website that is based in Pennsylvania but used by property owners around the country is called the Natural Gas Lease Forum for Landowners. Natural Gas Lease Forum for Landowners. It goes under PA Gas Lease, PA Gas Lease. You have to register, but it's a great place to go in and get information, ask questions, what are you doing? They list websites of activist property owners in states across the country so you can connect with them. You're not alone, but you have to take the initiative. And the property owners have to do that. No one likes to be bullied. Vince, I'll mention one more thing, because we've talked about gas drilling.
Okay.
And the fact Marcellus Shale is already getting activated in Pennsylvania, and it's coming to New York. And if I may, since we had the experience of leasing for gas drilling, I would offer four tips to property owners to think about in this time period. First of all, I would say, let the property owner beware. Because if you make a bad decision, for example, if you sign a bad lease, you own it. You cannot outsource your personal responsibility, not even to your attorney. You have to stay involved in the strategy. You have to understand the issues. And the four tips would be, if you think you might be approached by a gas driller for the Marcellus Shale or anything else, if water is on your property, have it tested before any drilling activity begins. And do not get the cheapest, simplest water test. Get your water tested for any byproducts related to gas operations, because you will want proof of the baseline quality of your water if it changes later. And I know folks in Pennsylvania who are having water problems now, and that is a nightmare if you're a property owner. And the finger of suspicion, it's not confirmed, but the finger of suspicion these property owners keep looking at is the gas wells, and in our case, even the gas storage, because they still inject gas. So there's still injection wells there. A property owner in Pennsylvania recently who had a test had taken, and it cost them $900. So there's your benchmark. You know, this isn't a $25 water test, but it's an investment in your property and your health. So first of all, if you have water on your property, have it tested before any drilling activity begins. Second, do your homework. For example, understand comparable value in lease agreements. Gas drillers are also leasing public lands in your area, for example, game lands or state forest lands. Ask to see a copy of that lease agreement. Now, they probably won't want to share that, but it's important to let them know that you know. What we found in our experience is that the lease agreements with government entities, for example, the Pennsylvania Game Commission, were much better than the lease agreements with private property owners, even when the properties are next door. That is basically disparity and equitable truth has to end. It won't end without sunlight. You know, sunlight is still the best distance for government and for corporations. The third point is to use available resources. I mentioned this natural gas lease form for land. I mentioned some of the other things. So you have resources out there. You aren't alone. The fourth and last point is get competent legal advice before signing a lease. Okay? You want a competent attorney, especially someone who specializes in mineral rights, to look at the proposed lease and protect your interest. Among other things, your lease agreement should include what's referred to as hold harmless clauses for you, because it'll have hold harmless clauses for the gas drillers. In addition, you'll want to put no storage clauses in your lease, and there's other things that are important too.
All right. Well, is there anything else that we didn't discuss, or anything that you wanted to talk about, or that you wanted to get on the air?
Well, I would say that the big picture is in Pennsylvania and soon New York, energy companies are becoming more active for the reason we talked about, the potential of recovery of Marcellus Shale. Emphasis on natural gas means, you know, more pipelines, probably more underground storage fields, more eminent domain access. And meanwhile, we're seeing infinite water pollution surfacing across Pennsylvania in connection with, you know, increased drilling and storage of gas. There is some serious scholarly work. In fact, there's a geologist meeting in Pittsburgh first week in I think it's November 4th and 5th, and they are looking at issues related to separation of gas underground. Gas migrates underground. And that can create safety problems, that can create water pollution. So it's really important. And I'll tell you, it continues. I mean, this weekend, front page story in the Bedford Gazette in Bedford County, one of the families there is suing Spectre Energy. They're suing them on the basis of what they say, their attorney says, is an illegal taking of their property for this underground storage field. And they're also accusing the company of polluting the family's drinking water. And so that'll have to work its way out. I think my last understanding is that it was headed to federal court in Pittsburgh. We'll see what happens when the case actually comes to trial. But back to the advice thing, you are in a much better position if you fight property rights, your health rights, and everything else than if you roll over.
All right. And so did you, once again, your website to let everyone know?
It is Spectre Energy, I'm sorry, www.spectreenergywatch.com, www.spectrewatch.com.